UPS is hiring warehouse workers, package handlers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying up to $21 an hour and offer great benefits, including 100% paid tuition, plus housing for some with our Metro College or Loop programs. Shift your team, shift your future, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference. UPSjobs.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Time now for The Take with James Strebel.
Aaron Bradshaw is not going to Louisville. You get the pity visit. Congratulations for the pity visit.
The Take with James Strebel.
Chayton Sharp's connected with guys like DJ Wagner and, you know, some of these hot recruits, and he talks to all of them.
And Perrin Johnson.
Andy Sweeney drinks a crap ton.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Get me more Saucy Santana. She could be, Saucy Santana could be one of my sauces for the stories about where recruits are going. Be another sauce. Booty, booty, booty. Now, these are kind of lyrics that they change why. Bootylicious. Cole Porter, Irving Berlin, and booty. This is what I'm saying.
Please, God, don't let us get sued.
All right, back here. The Power Hour is 5 o'clock here on The Take. I'm James Strebel, Jack Grossman, Perrin Johnson here today. This hour brought to you by Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. They're your source for premium cigars, liquor, craft beer, and that J-Town Beer Fest coming up soon. And you can go to the one in Middletown to get your $35 tickets starting tomorrow. We'll talk more about that tomorrow on Friday. But let's go ahead, and before we get Rick Buzzard on here, Louisville City FC is back in action on Saturday as the Boys in Purple host Orange County SC. Join Jeff Milby and Casey Whitfield at 7:45 for pregame, with a kickoff at 8 o'clock, and it's all on ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app. Also, tomorrow, Brewers at Reds, 7 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. Is Soccer City tonight, Jack? Is that happening?
Yes, Jason Entz has ditched it, though, tonight.
What?
Yeah.
Jason Entz ditched Soccer City, so who's running Soccer City?
Spencer, because I have to, pack to go to New Jersey.
Yeah, you're going to New Jersey. Yeah. Jack's got a big wedding this weekend. So
you stay going to a wedding.
His rabbi cousin is marrying another rabbi lady, so he's going to go watch two rabbis wed in New Jersey.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
I
love it when they lift the couple up in the chair and make them and they dance around them.
I've always wanted to go to a Jewish wedding, and if I didn't have things to do,
maybe one day I'll get married.
You can marry Jack. You invite me. So I'll go to a Jewish wedding.
They'll ask me who invited me. I'm like Lenny Kravitz.
All right, Rick Bozich from WDRB.com. Rick, how you doing on this hot Thursday, my friend?
I'm melting, man. I need a pool or something. I need somewhere to go to chill.
Rick, I got a question for you, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Are you for keeping Tony La Russa, or are you tired of his antics?
Here we go.
I'm in favor of him finishing out the season, I guess. I don't think managerial changes in the middle of the year usually work out that great, but I think it's time for him to move on after this year. I'm not as critical as everybody else. It's more of a thing of, you know, they got guys in the team that are performing that are making pretty big money, and I don't know how much of that's on La Russa. People have pounced onto him for some dumb things he's done, but if the players played a little better, I don't think it'd be as much of an issue.
Well, there you go. Yeah, he's definitely stuck his foot in his mouth here recently more and more often, Rick. So I'm sure as a White Sox fan, you're as frustrated as anybody on that. Well, Rick, you've got things popping on WDRB. I'm looking at your early best bets for Louisville, Kentucky, IU football. Also, you had a piece today about DJ Wagner that I want to get to. But let's go ahead and start with Kenny Payne and the ticket holder event. Now, did you attend that? Were you there on scene as Luke Hancock emceed that event? been with Kenny Payne, Josh Hurd, Danny Manning, Nolan Smith.
Yeah, I was down there Monday night. It was a nice crowd. I'd say it was several thousand people, which is, you know, a nice turnout just to drive downtown on a Monday night when it's 100 million degrees outside. And they each talked for like 15 or 20 minutes, and I thought it went well. I really did. I thought Kenny and Nolan were very impressive.
What was your biggest takeaway from Kenny Payne? Because I read the write-up from Eric Crawford about that. And he said a lot of stuff, and he didn't hold back. I mean, not everything was coach speech and rainbows with Kenny Payne. He was very honest and upfront about how he wants to run the program and what kind of team he wants at Louisville. So anything particular stand out to you with Kenny Payne, whether that be the NIL, the style of play that he wants to implement? What stood out to you, Rick?
Two things stood out. One is just his whole personality and the way he interacts with the crowd. I had a number of people come up to me afterwards and say how impressed they were, that they weren't totally sold on it beforehand, but they were now because they can see the way he relates to people. He's almost got sort of a ministerial presence to him, that he talks about things that are just bigger than basketball. And you know, I realize it's the honeymoon stage and all that stuff will become less important once they start playing games and actually winning and losing games. But he is such an impressive guy when he stands up there and talks about, you know, what the whole job is about. That was one. And the second thing I was surprised with a little bit is that he, for the second or third time that I've heard him say that, you know, he's not going to be a coach who's going to use NIL to get guys to come here, and that when he's talking to players, if NIL seems to be the number one thing that is important to them, then he's not convinced that, you know, Louisville's the right place for that player, which sounds good. You don't know, though, how it's going to work out as time unfolds, of what percentage of players you're going to then not be able to recruit because of it.
Yeah, I found that comment to be interesting, and I think it riled up some Louisville fans, not all, but I think some of them read that as, like, you're not using all the tools in your toolbox. I mean, you take Scott Satterfield, for instance, Rick, who is just killing it on the recruiting trail, and in my opinion, it's not just because they love Scott Satterfield and the way he plays football and his offense, and they just want to be at Louisville. I think he's learned he has to use NIL not only to improve Louisville football, but to save his job. So it's like, you know, in one way, it's nice to hear Kenny Payne say that, but when push comes to shove and maybe, hey, I need to get some dudes in here not named DJ Wagner, is he going to be able to, you know, kind of step back and say, okay, I had this NIL, I can use it? Do you think he'll be able to do that?
We're going to find out. I think the differentiation needs to be made is I don't think he's against it. Like, once a player gets here, he's in favor of having you know, whatever collectives they come up with or whatever group of people who are interested in investing in NIL with Louisville maximize things for players. But I think what I sensed from him was that if he picked up on the player, if the number one thing they're looking at in recruiting is how much money can they get, that's seems to be a bit of a red flag for him. And what he says is, you know, it does sound good in theory. That is a short-sighted way for players to look at it, in that NIL money is one thing, but, you know, he wants somebody who looks at the bigger picture and say, what can they do to get better as a player and make, you know, real money when they go to the NBA. So how that actually plays out is going to be fascinating, because he's not the only one. I mean, Mike Woodson said the same thing when he was at Huber's back in May. So, I mean, Cal hasn't said it, but I think there's a group of coaches that look at it that way.
No, I mean, I agree with you a ton, Rick, because at the end of the day, you can't – when you're running a business, you have to run a business because you enjoy running that business, whether that be a garage or a restaurant. You want to go in to do something you love. You don't want to make money just to buy a Corvette, because at the end of the day, you're going to want to – the Corvette's going to get old at some point. So you got to love the nature of what you're doing. And if you get a kid on campus – you know, everything's not rainbows and sunshine. You know, you got to get in there and you got to grind it out. So I think that really matters with a lot of these guys, because you want to get guys that would come in and work, because the NIL is great, but also you need to have guys that are really bought in and committed to playing basketball, because, you know, the ball's going to stop bouncing eventually, but you want to have people that are dedicated to coming in and working on their craft.
And I'm sure the message he's conveying is, yeah, I mean, we've got NIL here. We want to be the best we can at NIL, and you'll get NIL money, but we'll talk about that after you get here. The conversation now is like, you know, what other things are going to happen for you at the University of Louisville to help you reach your – what are your dreams and what are your goals as you move forward? And I know that a lot of players, the dreams are to get to the NBA or to have a professional basketball career, and we all know that the percentage of guys that actually do that isn't very great. It's been greater, you know, at Kentucky and Duke because of the guys they've recruited. But I think that it's going to be interesting to watch how he navigates that, not only him, but every coach going forward, because as he mentioned in that conversation, the anecdote that he told was, you know, the next day this particular player committed to another school, so the NIL was an important piece for that guy.
Yes, absolutely. And Rick, I want to ask you about this. You know, obviously DJ Wagner has been a great focal point with his grandfather being right on staff and so on and so
right
forth. Do you think the fan base will be patient with Kenny as he comes in? I know he's in on a lot of big-name guys, DJ Wagner, Robert Dillingham Jr., and Aaron Bradshaw. If you think if this season doesn't kick off like with a bang and Louisville's just not winning a ton of games, will people be patient because of their excited the way Kenny's recruiting, a la like Satterfield in football? Or do you think people are going to be on Kenny to try to turn this over sooner rather than later?
You know, I think there's a percentage of people that are going to be unhappy. They default to unhappiness automatically, and as soon as there's some things that happen that they don't like or are disappointing or frustrating to them, that they will be vocal about it. But I think that the majority of people will have some patience, although I have to say that patience in 2022 is different than patience in 2012 or different than patience, you know, in 2001 when Rick Pitino came here, that, you know, they'll be patient for a year or two, but I think they'll be expecting something by the, you know, third year.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Rick. Rick Bowles is joining us from WDRB, WDRB.com. We were talking about, Rick, tomorrow the IARP is supposed to meet out in L.A. and review the Louisville case. Your cohort, Eric Crawford, has a piece on about that on WDRB. I read that earlier today. And the staggering was the number of days we've gone, 1,724, that this has been dragging on. So we're going up on a decade almost here, Rick. I made the comment that considering Kenny Payne's first year, it looks like he's going to have maybe 9-10 scholarship players. He's missed out on some guards, missed out on seemingly Amani Bates, that if you take the postseason ban, if that's the case, that wouldn't be an all bad thing for Kenny Payne, that he could say, look, this year we're establishing a culture, we have guys that we're working with, they're learning, maybe get them to the NBA draft, and that he could say, this year is what it is, my focus is on 23-24 class, and then bigger picture from there.
I understand what you're saying, and I think what would be the best thing for Kenny Payne is just, you know, certainty. This is what the
right
penalty is, period. Whether good, bad, whatever. Whether it is a one-year ban from the tournament, whether it's just probation, scholarship loss, just know what it is so you can move forward and talk to recruits and not have to have this cloud over the program for, which has been there really since September 26, 2017, and move forward. And there's an element of frustration because of that, because it's already, this is the third athletic, but it's been what, Jurich, Tyre, and Hurd.
Yeah,
it's been Pitino, Paget, Mac, Pegues, Payne. It's, you know, and Kenny Johnson has moved on and has a second job already. He's gone from LaSalle to Rhode Island with Archie Miller.
We learned today, Jack Grossman looked it up, Jordan Fair is coaching high school basketball in Florida, Rick.
He is, okay. Yeah, Rick Pitino has been already in Iona for 2 years and, you know, is probably going to have his best team again the next year, and sooner or later he's going to probably make a big run in the NCAA tournament. And David Padgett's gotten out of the business, is now a financial planner. It's like the rest of the world has moved on. Louisville fans, Louisville athletic department, the University of Louisville in general deserves to move on. And, you know, this has been taken entirely too long to get to this point. And the other part of it that's frustrating, you know, like to me and like to most people, is there's so much, it's always shrouded in so much secrecy and uncertainty where, like, people can't even confirm or say where this meeting is and who's going to participate in it. I don't understand why it has to be that way. It adds to the cynicism to me of the NCAA process that everything always has to be top secret. I don't understand why it can't be more open.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rick. I think it's everybody just wants to move on, and even if the penalties are harsh, I think Louisville fans, not that they'll accept it, but they'll be like, okay, at least we know we can move on. The future is bright here with Kenny Payne. Switching to football, you have your early odds and things for best bets for Louisville, Kentucky, Indiana football. It's up on WDRB if you want to go look at that, everybody out there listening. I won't ruin it all for you, Rick. I want them to go to the site and actually read it. But with Louisville, Kentucky, and Indiana, which one of those three predictions do you feel the strongest about? The Louisville 5.5, the Kentucky 7.5, or the Indiana 4.5?
I went under on Indiana, so I'd say I feel the strongest on that.
Oh, really? Okay. IU under. Okay.
Yeah, I took under on Indiana 4.5. I look at their schedule, and if they don't win the very first game against Illinois, I don't see any way they get over 4.5 wins. So I'd say I feel a forecast of 4 wins for Indiana seems to be optimistic, so I go over. And then next would be Kentucky. There's a 7.5,
yeah,
which was set by Brian Edwards at Vegas Insider, and I went over on that, I think, before. They got 8 home games, right? And they got,
yes, they do, yes.
The way they've handled Louisville in recent years, you got to figure they got 4 non-conference wins, so they're halfway there. I think they have South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Mississippi State at home. I gave them those 3, and they should be able to get a road win at Missouri. That's 8. I mean, the only game I think that's really out of reach for them is probably Georgia down there. Other than that, I don't see any other. I mean, the second game of the year is Florida, which is a pretty big swing game. They win that game, they can have a big year.
Right, right.
But because Florida's breaking in a new coach, I think they got a new quarterback. You know, they were a disappointing team. They didn't go to a bowl game last year, did they?
They did, but it was embarrassing. One tried. And then they were dead last in the SEC in recruiting. And Vanderbilt had a better recruiting class than they did.
Correct. And I don't know what they got. And the thing is, these days, you got to know what they got in the portal. I don't know what Florida got in the portal. But because Stoops has been, this year 9 or 10 for him? I mean,
yeah.
He's got stability in his program. He's got his quarterback back. We don't know if Rodriguez will be playing the second game. That's the one thing that makes me a little bit uncertain, if he'll get any kind of punishment and miss any games. But they have traditionally played Florida well. So, as I said, I think, you know, he's kind of set a standard of, you know, they can get to 8. So I feel pretty confident in Kentucky getting to 8.
Yeah, I'm with you too, Rick. The question is, you know, will they go over 8? Will they have another 9, you know, 10 win season? We'll see from there. Rick Bozich with us. Also, Rick, on WDRB.com, you have an article about DJ Wagner. Sounds
right.
Like you spent some time around young Mr. Wagner when he was in Louisville. Just kind of, you know, fill us in. What are your thoughts on DJ? And you know, obviously wrote a glowing report on him and the type of character that he is.
I mean, he's a legitimate player. I mean, I've been watching him play in Indianapolis and in Louisville against, you know, higher level AAU competition. What I really like about him is he's got a great mixture to his game in that he can shoot the ball, but he's very good driving the ball. He's not like his dad was actually a real powerful player who had the strength to get to the rim. DJ's more of a glider, but my most impressive thing about him was the way he can finish with either hand. He's got a great left hand, even though he's a right-handed kid. I heard what you guys said earlier about, you know, the Finkelstein thing and parents pretty confident he's going to Louisville. I still think it's 50-50. I really do.
Oh, there we go, Rick. You're not in my corner because I'm still trying to say Kentucky.
I can't believe you're giving him false hope, Rick. Don't do that to him.
Here's the one factor that none of us know. And is the X factor in this. And I only bring it up because when I was in Indianapolis and talked to DeJuan, and neither DeJuan nor DJ did interviews when they were in Louisville. They did in Indianapolis. But DeJuan made sure to tell us that don't forget to talk to his mother. His mother is the one taking the visits with him. his mother is going to be highly involved. DeJuan's not making the visits. DeJuan is involved with the basketball part of it. His mom is involved more with the visits and the recruiting stuff, and she's the X factor in this. And so who's done the better job of, you know, recruiting? I think her name is Lisa. I don't know. But we don't know which way she's leaning and what's important to her. So, I think it's premature to discount Kentucky in this because of the track record they have of developing guys who want to do what DJ wants to do, which is go to the NBA, and because he's gone to Cal's camp a number of times and has a relationship with him, and he loves Kenny too. I wouldn't want to be in this position. He's going to make somebody very unhappy, and that's got to be a lot for a 17-year-old kid to deal with.
No, absolutely. I can't. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes either, Rick. Because it's got to be tough because you know Cal has that close relationship with DeJuan Wagner.
You're going to hurt somebody's feelings. You're going to make a phone call and tell them something they really don't want to hear. And it's not just some coach you've met and known, you know, for a few months in the recruiting process. It's somebody that you have a relationship with and your family has a relationship with. Somebody's going to be disappointed, whether it's Kenny Payne, who you call an uncle, or your grandfather, or whether it's John Calipari, who's been very close to your family for a while. So not an easy call for the Wagner family.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And do you get a sense, Rick, and last one for you, and then we'll let you go today so you get back to your Thursday. Do you get a sense, Rick, of maybe when this will wrap up? I've heard from different recruit nicks out there that it might be sooner rather than later for DJ Wagner as far as the end of this saga.
Not really. You know, I haven't even heard, like, when he's taking his official visits and stuff. I know really more. I did talk to Aaron Bradshaw when they were here for the tournament, and he said he wanted to have his wrapped up before school starts, after the Peach Jam, before school starts.
Right.
But I would think at the latest, you know, in early November, but hopefully before then. At some point, I think some of these kids get tired of it, getting bugged and asked about it everywhere they go. You can't really escape it, and you want to make a decision. So I would think we would know something, you know, late summer, early fall.
Yeah, I think that that seems to be the pattern here that we're seeing arise, Rick. That it's gonna that sounds about right to me. I think that's what other people are saying as well. So there you go. What do you have going on this weekend, Rick? You need to watch a little baseball, a little U.S. Open. Obviously, probably not too much outdoors. But what's going
really
on over at the Bozich compound?
Got back on my dog walking because of the heat. She's not a big fan of the heat, but I will watch some. I heard what you guys talked about the golf, and I agree 100% is that this has made golf more interesting to the casual fan than anything that's happened, because it's created like adversity. There's like, sure, you know, which camp are you in? Are you with Mickelson and his guys? Are you with Rory and Justin Thomas and their guys? And I would like to see stories of, like, how tense is it in the locker room, or is there any one of the I suspect at some point, like in some of these, there's going to be like a public argument or guys getting in each other's face talking about this, and it's changed the outlook for golf. To me, for me, golf is, as a casual fan, has been like, you know, the four majors and what's Tiger Woods doing, and makes golf as critics of my grilling would say, it sprinkles more spice onto the meat.
Hey, I'm telling you, hey, Rick, this is what I picture going on. This will make golf, like, legendary for me. And I want to see Rory McIlroy out there, like, practicing swinging, and Phil Mickelson or Bryson DeChambeau walk out there, like, kick his ball off the practice tee. Like, you got something you want to say to me?
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Step up.
Or DJ.
Yeah, and then, like, they almost come to blows when security steps in, and everybody's pulling out their phone and they're recording it, and it goes viral, and it's, like, a big to-do. And then, like, you know, golf will be fun. It'll almost be, like, a little bit of a microcosm of what the NBA or NFL is to a degree when don't like each other. I would love to see that.
I agree. I mean, I watched that press conference with Mickelson on Monday, and he looked like a beaten down man, and deep, and Phil Mickelson, when I've been around him at the tournaments that have been here and a few other places, he's like one of the most self-assured and self-confident guys I've been around, and he looked like all that was gone, that the weight of all this was bugging him. And at some point, I would think he's going to say, you know, I've had enough. I made my decision. You guys have criticized me. I've been beaten up in the media, and I'm not going to take anymore. And this is, shut up. Leave me alone. And I look forward to that day for him to do that, because of that, I think golf, I know it's a gentleman's game, but this is, it's a little bit more a human element to the game.
Absolutely. Yes. It's not as buttoned up and proper as golf, you know, is shown to be.
You know, these guys quietly are like seething inside, saying these guys need to quit running their mouth about me. And if they're out playing in the U.S. Open this week when it's hot and they're getting heckled by people because what some of these other golfers are saying, they're human. They're not liking that. And so I look forward to the day where they kind of push back and say, you know, okay, I heard what you said. But I made my choice. Just shut up and deal with it.
Yeah, no, I you're right. You're the nail on the only thing that would make this even greater is if one of the guys that left to join the LIV Tour won this weekend.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. If Dustin Johnson came out
with
one.
Rory, like in the last group on Sunday, how great would that be?
Yeah, and then like at the press conference, he says, "Hey, I'll see y'all at the next major."
Yeah, you know, that'd be some. I mean, that'd be Tiger Woods wearing red on Sunday type viewership if that were to happen.
Yeah,
it would be great.
Yes, I mean that's what I'm all for. So yes, I'm
heck
all about
yeah.
At that point, it becomes more than a sports story. It sort of becomes a news story and a culture story. It really does.
Absolutely. Rick Bozich, thanks for joining us on this Thursday, Rick. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your weekend.
All right. Have a great weekend. Remember to hydrate.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
Will do. Yes, sir. Rick Bozich, WDRB.com. Good stuff from Dr. Bo as usual. He always has an opinion about something. It's great. He does a great job.
But that is the ultimate epitome of what I would love to see. I would love to see. Like, could you imagine if the leaderboard was like, the first four or five guys was like a Rory, Chambeau,
Justin Thomas, DJ.
Yeah, like a bunch of guys that are in, like on either side of the fence.
Right, right.
I want to see like a theater with this.
Right, and it's almost like professional wrestling.
Yes,
you have your faces and you have your heels.
Yeah, people are like, oh, you just want controversy. Yes, I am that little girl in the swing as the house burns in the background in this scenario.
Yeah,
right.
That's what makes golf interesting.
Yes, absolutely. It's not just, oh, look how proper they are and what a swing and what a putt.
No, someone's about to tee off.
Yeah, quiet.
It's a gentleman's sport, remember.
Johnson joined the tee off from the fifth to par three.
But everyone,
45 yards.
And everyone doesn't want to talk about how women weren't allowed to play at Augusta for how many years.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
it's unbelievable.
Don't talk about that, but they don't do the LIV Tour. But yeah, golf has its own set of issues. So
no. All right. They have enough money. Dustin Johnson has enough. $74 million is enough money. He shouldn't want $50 more million.
Right.
Oh no, it's not $50 more million though. It's like $100 more million.
No, yeah. I know that.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. All right, let's take our final break. We have a U.S. Speaking of, we have a U.S. Open update here in about 15 minutes. We'll close up the show. Jack went to a comedy show last night. We're going to get his thoughts on that.
Also, I've been shadow produced.
Oh, you've been shadow produced?
Something's happening.
Oh, something's happening.
It's not good for you.
Not good for me?
It's not good for you.
Okay, well,
that delivery is scary.
It's not good
like a doctor.
For you. All right, well, we'll talk about that and more on the other side of the break. It's The Take on ESPN 680 105.7.
Keep it locked on The Take with James Strebel.
Did you and Ethan Moore overlap at mail? There it is. It's sent out. There it is. It's sent out.
And Perrin Johnson.
Oh, you can tell who aged better. That's for sure.
I mean, Ethan, listen. That's not even fair to blame.
Somebody aged a dog years and somebody did it. I'm going to let you be the choice. I'm going to let you be the judge of that situation.
Man. On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right. Welcome back to The Take here on ESPN 680, 105.7.
Crap, I played that music yesterday, didn't I?
I don't notice.
No, you didn't play this yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think you did.
Right,
and if you did, I don't really notice.
I hate it when I do that because there's a folder of like literally 55 different beds in there, and I just basically choose four random ones. I try not to choose the same ones back-to-back days or like same day or whatever.
Right.
And I don't know. I feel like it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't remember it, Jack. Yeah, I really don't. Now, good. Jack Grossman went to his show last night.
And I did.
I don't know if you heard like how he got the tickets or not, Perrin, but so Jack went to Chris Rock with like his entire family.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like mom and dad and his brother and Ethan and everybody. So Phil Perrin in the audience, and if they don't know, how did you get these tickets? I found this to be very interesting.
Yeah, so it was my parents' anniversary about 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And my mom got tickets for the four of us as an anniversary gift.
Okay.
Which I was it just kind of took me aback a little bit, because I was like, wow, they're in like Jack's, how do you, like, what age range are your parents in?
My dad is about 65, my mom's about 55.
So that didn't seem like the wheelhouse, you know, in the age demographic for Chris Rock, but he is a big star and a big time comedian. So I was like, okay, that's cool.
Hey Jack, is your family from here originally?
Yeah.
Okay, born and raised. That's good stuff. That's awesome that your mom, because the reason why that's amazing for me and that's good for you guys is your mom included you in on her anniversary.
Yes, which was very nice, and she didn't need to do that, but I'm very happy that she did, because we had fun last night.
Shout out to Miss Grossman. Shout out to Miss Grossman.
So how was the show, Jack? Did you enjoy it? Was it funny? Was it did it live to expectations? Did you talk about the Will Smith stuff? What happened at Chris Rock last night?
He talked about the Will Smith stuff very, very briefly in just very two subtle ways.
Right.
Just right at the start, he comes out and he goes, I'm okay. I just got the feeling back in the left side of my face, but I'm okay.
All right, nice, very good.
And then later on, he goes, there's three types of successful people, or rather famous people.
Right.
People that mess up, people that are great at what they do, and then people that are victims. And obviously.
Yes, very good. Those subtle jokes
people
there.
That mess up. Yeah, people. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, just a couple subtle things. He did a lot of political stuff, which I found funny.
Sure.
He basically made fun of both sides of the aisle pretty equally. He talked about, he did have a lockism at one point.
Really? Lachlan McClain?
I probably found more funny than anyone else there in the crowd, but
Can you imagine him laughing hysterically with his laugh? It had to be
Jack?
Awesome.
Oh, that would be all night, man. It made everybody around him laugh more.
But,
you know, he's got the infectious laughter that makes you want to laugh even more.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But he's talking about how, you know, when he goes and he buys stuff and he doesn't care, like, if stores say, hey, we donate a percentage of the money to charity, or like, we'll plant a tree if you buy something from us, or whatever. And the example he used was a dress store. And he said, look, if I'm paying $100 for a dress, I don't care. And I can't, you know, because he cussed. But he goes, I don't care if you plant a bleeping tree. I just want the dress to be nice. Maybe you should focus more on the dress. You should make you should make a better dress.
Oh, that is a Lockism. Yes. That is, have you heard that sound? To get a better dog? Yeah. So that is a Lachlan McClainism. I like that a lot. Very, very good, Jack. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate Chris Rock?
I'd give him about an 8. He was really good.
An 8? Yeah, all right. Yes. I'm glad to see.
I like how he left room for improvement.
There's a little room for improvement. He wasn't a 10. Yeah. You know, he wasn't Dave Chappelle, but he was pretty damn close.
Yeah, he was really damn. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I there was a point where I thought Chris Rock was the funniest comedian, like in the 90s, when he was doing like his HBO specials and stuff. It's odd because most SNL actors, they catch their success during their SNL run.
Yes.
You know, like Chris Farley and Mike Myers and Dana Carvey and Adam Sandler. Chris Rock didn't really blow up until after SNL because he wasn't on it for very long.
No.
And it was his stand-up that did it. His stand-up is what made him a star.
But, I mean, his stand-up registers still to this day. But I love Chris Rock. I love Dave Chappelle. I love I listen to a lot of stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, I love Richard Pryor. I love George Carlin.
Bill Burr's in there for me too. He's really funny.
I listen to Bill Burr when I'm driving. I listen to his podcast.
He's great.
My podcast, but I listen to his stand up. The list goes. There's so many people out there. I like Roy Woods.
Roy
Woods is funny.
I
could go on and on and on. Amy Schumer's great. I love her. I love her and Chelsea Handler. I love to hear female comedians talk about how men are, and like, really, like, dang, they made this too real for me.
I'm a little uncomfortable here.
but it's true, because the truth is funny and it's good stuff, you know. So we'll see, but I'm glad that you got to see that last night for sure.
It was awesome.
I'm jealous. I would have liked to have gone and seen that, but
I went home and told my other half. I was like, did you know Chris Rock was here? She was like, no. I said, me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the reason I found out was because Dave Chappelle was here like 6-8 weeks ago.
Yeah, and, I know. And he came through, and I didn't even know. Yeah, I'm sure those sold out in like 2 seconds. Yeah, well, like, his tickets don't last.
Yeah, yeah, one of my friends went, and I only found out because I was like, hey, you want to, you know, grab a drink and do something tonight? And he was like, I'm going to Chappelle, actually. I was like, I did not know he was in town. So at that point, I looked up. Bleep. Who else is coming soon?
Well, Bill Burr's here in a couple of weeks, too, I think. I think he's coming pretty soon. I don't know if he's at the Yum Center or the Palace or where he is. But
I know because they were advertising it last night. Tim Allen's coming to the Palace.
Oh, there you go. Tim Allen.
Interesting. Yeah.
There you go. You know what? We've neglected the text line a lot in the show. Let's read a couple texts here before we start to wrap things up. Texter says, not going to read that at all. Texter says, Jack just giving away every joke for free when Chris Rock has to tour to sell. He told us like 2 jokes.
Yeah.
Come on. Be real here.
He went for about 2 hours, and I gave you maybe, 45 seconds of what he said.
Oh, here. Rick, I thought you said Kid Rock, and I immediately was trying to figure out why the Grossmans were going to see Kid Rock. Now, I would like to see the Grossmans at the Kid Rock show. Now,
that would have freaked the parents out.
I think your mom would have been like, heavens about that. That would have been funny.
Actually, I don't know. I think there's a part of my mom. Or maybe not now, but if she was about 20 years younger.
No, I think
she would have gone. That's not her crowd.
No.
But she could have adopted it for a night.
If your mom and dad went solo without y'all, I think your mom would be cool. She's not going to let you see her true self.
I can tell you. My dad would not have liked that.
He would have heard of it. Yeah, there were a lot of F words at the show. And some strip teases going on too, Jack.
Yeah,
I can see your dad be like, I'm only here because I love you.
Like I'm here because I love you, and I have to be here because I'm your husband. Texter says, Eddie Murphy was the bomb. Yeah. Eddie Murphy, there wasn't a bigger comedian on the planet in the 80s, and maybe a bigger movie star on the planet in the 80s than Eddie Murphy. I mean, you got to think he had Beverly Hills Cop at the time. Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen that. It was good.
Yeah, the first Beverly Hills Cop was hilarious. Trading Places.
Trading Places was great.
48
Hours. I got legs.
Yes,
I can see.
Yeah. Man, Trading Places is one of the all-time. Have you seen that one? I have seen that one. Trading Places is funny.
Yeah.
That one holds up.
Jamie Lee Curtis is a 10.
Yes.
Oh, in that movie? Yeah. She's the love interest of Dan Aykroyd.
She's a 10.
I love that movie. That's a movie that I watched, when I was younger, and I watched it, and it still holds up. But Eddie Murphy, I mean, there's a time where he couldn't do anything wrong other than sing. He had a couple of songs out there. Remember?
Party All the Time.
She likes to party all the time. Rick James is in the video.
Eddie Murphy, hey, never Richard Pryor. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall to see those two back in the day.
Oh, man. I bet that was wild. Oh, absolutely wild.
Crazy.
See, we could have had a Chappelle show where you had, the Rick James episode, the Prince episode.
Yeah.
It would have kept going. I would love to have seen a Richard Pryor episode of True Hollywood, Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories with Richard Pryor. That would have been awesome.
No,
so
absolutely. What you say, Jack? We got a...
Oh, we got the
We got the update coming up in about 20 seconds.
Right, so, cool. We have to try to bloviate here and talk a little bit while we're waiting for this countdown. I hate these countdowns 15. Because I'm so bad at handing off at, like, the exact second you're supposed to hand off.
10 seconds.
And I feel like a dummy when I'm sitting here just talking, just filling time because I know it's coming.
Roll right into it. Here we go.
Yeah.
Five, four, three, two, one.
U.S. Open update now.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 122nd U.S. Open Golf Championship, sponsored by Fidelity Wealth Management. Story of the day of the opening round at Brookline is that, with the exception of Rory McIlroy, lesser-known players have fared better than the bigger names. McIlroy trying to be the first ever to win the Open, having won the previous week. He had a final round 62 this past Sunday in Toronto. He had a 3-under 67 today and is already looking ahead to round two.
I'm going into tomorrow with the mindset of let's keep it going rather than where's the cut line or whatever. So it's certainly a different mindset when you get off to a good start.
But the three golfers who finished the morning tied with McIlroy are unknowns. Callum Tarrant, David Lingberth, and Joel Damon. Adam Hadwin, not exactly a household name, native of Moose Jaw, Canada. He had sole possession of the lead until he just bogeyed the 12th hole. So right now there's a 7-way tie for the lead at 3-under. With this report on the U.S. Open, I'm John Stashow, Westwood One Sports.
Golf takes focus. You can't be distracted. which is why you should consider working with a Fidelity advisor to create a comprehensive wealth plan designed to help you grow and protect your wealth. Because once you've done that, you'll experience what Fidelity calls the planning effect, the peace of mind that lets you completely focus on what matters to you, which for many of us is our short game. Schedule an appointment to learn more or visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
Tracy, line one is looking for a quote on a mini split.
Crazy spring temperatures are heating up DeWyatt HVAC phone lines.
Next week, we're booked solid.
If they don't find more technicians, they'll be in hot water.
How are we down 3 technicians in the past 3 weeks?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Earn up to $500 in sponsored job credits by interviewing on Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're back. There you go, your U.S. Open update. I know you all were very excited to hear that. All right, just kind of like a recap of what we talked about today. Obviously, the big story for us here today on The Take was that the IARP is meeting tomorrow in Los Angeles, and they will begin to deliberate and decide the fate of Louisville basketball. And if we follow the trajectory that NC State was on with the IARP, we'll have about a September/October date when that resolution wraps up. So there we go with that. Also, we talked a little bit about DJ Wagner. Had some DJ Wagner sound from Adam Finkelstein. Jack, is there any funny sound from today that you'd like to play?
So
is there anything
some
good?
Stuff from today.
Yeah,
but,
I've got a pretty good sheet
yesterday.
Here. Yes, what happened yesterday?
We didn't get any sound yesterday
because we were all just kind of rolling yesterday. So tell us what you have from yesterday, Jack.
Did Maben and Rummage and Blank are in a feud?
They are in a feud, which I find, I mean, this is card on card.
Maben, Rummage, and Blank are in a feud.
Yes.
It is Blank v. Maben and Rummage.
Yes.
I should phrase it as Maben and Rummage v. Blank.
V. Blank. Yes. All right. So,
and what is it about?
It's about the lack of guards on the roster for U of L. So, Jack, I believe Blankenbaker actually popped into the show, right?
Yes. But, I'll play first of them talking about Blank before Blank pops into the show.
Let's go.
I just realized Andy Sweeney touched Mark Blankenbaker. It's him. I hear Andy Sweeney through Mark Blankenbaker. Andy goes, "You gonna get some guards, baby?" Then I come around the corner and Mark Blankenbaker, "You gonna get some guards, baby?"
Time is on Mark Blankenbaker's side.
Right now, Andy left.
Wow.
He's on my side.
Andy's in Knoxville.
Yes,
no.
He is.
He's right here, but he's actually still in this office. Side.
So they're representing the movie Fallen with Denzel Washington.
Yes.
Andy's here now.
Wow.
Because the first thing Mark said to me, I don't think I've ever been mocked about Louisville basketball by Mark Blankenbaker come around the corner today and went, "Oh, is it Amani Bates Day, guys?"
I was like, "I'm like Sweeney?"
I know. Is that true? Legitimately.
Hey, why were you singing that song?
I wasn't singing a song, Marcus.
Why'd you ask me about Amani Bates?
I should run back there and grab you and say, "What did you mean by Amani Bates, man?"
Sweeney can pass along.
That's frightening.
He did it to Jack. He did it to Patty. All he did is touched him on the shoulder.
Wow.
And they become him.
Now Mitch is doing it all over St. Louis.
Yes.
That's a good point.
That's a great point.
Coop's doing it in Greece.
Yes. Cooper did it too.
Screw monkey pox. It's Sweeney pox.
I figured it out.
My God.
I figured it out.
It's actually kind of creepy, but yeah.
It's reality, Steve.
I know.
That's hilarious stuff. All right, so where's the kicker? Where's Blankenbaker come in? We need Blank. Blank, where are you? Save us, Sheriff.
We don't talk basketball with Mark Blankenbaker right now. But football, we
wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Wait,
we do talk football.
Wait a minute. Stop.
We don't talk basketball with Mark Blankenbaker. Wow.
State your business, Mark. State your business.
Oh, boy.
State your business.
I just wanted to pop in
and
say that it's not my fault
that
we only have non-scholarship players.
Listen. Y'all remember when Mark was a little
guards? Guards? Hey, do we have guards?
Guards. Dang it, Mark, you touched me.
Have a great the rest of the
Nikki.
Day.
He came in here and touched Nikki. He put his arm around Nikki's shoulder.
6 feet, Mark. Six feet. Don't you listen to the V-Show? We talk about this.
YouTube just saw it.
That is good stuff there. Perrin, what's your take on all this?
I just want to hear what Blank got to say. Blank has nothing to say other than that. That's all he got?
Y'all just heard. And this is the diehard Louisville fan show.
Did you hear the energy? It's not my fault. We only have...
Did y'all ever think Mark Blankenbaker would be mocking Louisville basketball?
Did you? You heard it too, y'all. Yeah, like, don't act like Marcus and Steve. Don't do that, Nick. Don't do that.
Try and disinfect.
What's he spraying
That's
in
not
there?
Disinfected, Nick.
Oh, no, it's
been
not.
Through this.
Oh, it smells really strong too.
Oh, man. What's he? What was he spraying in there, Jack? You know, like Raid or like some kind of cockroach spray?
It's not my fault. So you realize that's a passive aggressive way of saying, "Hey, it's not my fault. It's Kenny Payne's fault that we only have 9 scholarship." Oh, we only have 9 scholarship.
It's breaking my heart, man. Like Mark was one of the generals, man. And it's like
he was the sheriff, Steve.
It's like we're losing him. We've lost him.
We lost him.
We've lost him.
Take that phone call, Nick.
Somebody said the UK sheriff.
The UK sheriff. I don't think we'll go that far, but no, Blankenbaker's a little skeptical about how Louisville's basketball team is going to be this season.
I get it with 9 scholarship guys where he's coming from. I think a lot of people have some questions.
Sure.
But they're all legitimate. You're either on the side of trusting the process or you are kind of quirky, but like a lot of people around here have PTSD.
Sure. I mean, they've been through a lot. Hey, look, people want Louisville basketball to be good. They want it to be good now. And look, the process has drawn out. Like, I can see both sides of it. We've been going through a process for a long time.
You know how Blank talks, Jack. You know how he talks. He'll say, like, well, you know, Scott Satterfield, he's going to have it figured out, and he's gets the players.
I mean, please let it pay off, Scott Satterfield. Don't let me hold the bag here.
There it is. Yes,
I can't see. I'm not making this up.
You had no idea Jack was about to play that sound.
Somebody show Amani Bates the 2013 national championship game. Show him the Siva Trey Burke foul. Let him know which side are you on here, Amani.
Hey, listen.
Let's just find out. Let's just get him here so I can calm the hell down.
Hey,
we're not going to have any guards.
I'd like to have some guards.
Yeah, I would too, but, you know.
By the way, Scott Satterfield, get a defensive lineman in that class, by the way.
Yeah, I need a guard more than I need that.
Oh, he doesn't believe that. He's trying to be balanced there. That's all that was. I don't believe him for a second.
So this is what Drew pointed out to me on Monday, and I'm starting to believe it. Now, you're a UK fan. You live in Indiana.
Yes.
I have no quarrels with that. But you cannot claim to be the U of L sheriff.
Yeah.
When you live in Santa Claus, Indiana.
Which is further away than I live. Like, I'm 15 minutes away from the studio.
So my question is, should we petition? And I need you to play this for Maben and Rummage tomorrow. And Rummage, I hope you're listening because I know you're always tuned in. And we need to play this for everybody. Does Mark need to change his name to the Santa Claus sheriff?
Santa Claus sheriff.
He doesn't live here.
I like that.
Can't claim to be the U of L sheriff. You said Justin Thomas is not really from Louisville. He's from where is he from? Odom County.
Odom County. Yes. Yeah. Even though
Goshen,
he went to St. X.
He's from Goshen. Even though he went to St. X.
Right.
You don't allow him to claim it. So if Justin Thomas. So if we're going by the thinking of Mark Blankenbaker,
those are his words.
If Justin Thomas cannot claim Louisville because he's from Orlando, then how in the hell do we allow him to claim to be the U of L sheriff when he doesn't even live in the state of Kentucky in the first place?
Right, he's living in Santa Claus, Indiana.
So he has to call himself the Santa Claus sheriff,
or
he can call himself the Holiday World sheriff.
The holiday. I like Santa Claus sheriff better.
I love L's down.
Hold on a second here. What is happening to Blankenbaker?
We have to talk about this.
I love Ellstown.
I think
because it stokes the rivalry, and I have no problem because I know that you all are thinking about me. You're at a baseball game. You're at a basketball. Kentucky fans have some of the best attendance at Louisville athletic events. I mean, thank you so much for your attendance. Games. We really appreciate it. When you give me an Ellstown, you let me know that I'm thinking about you.
No, I mean I agree with that, but
I love L's down.
I agree with the side of, like, you know, at the end of the day, UK games are great, I'm sure.
Yes,
I
mean,
I've been
they're
to a
fun.
Couple.
You have been
but
to some. Yeah,
they are not like Louisville games. I don't care.
Oh,
I don't.
Aaron.
I don't care. I don't care if we stink. I don't care if we're great.
No, I've
Come
been to both
now.
Tailgates. The UK tailgate's better than a U of L tailgate.
I mean, the tailgate's jumping.
Yeah,
but
are we talking football or basketball?
Football.
No, the tailgate's jumping, but
yes.
Like the actual from tailgate to game, we're killing y'all.
No, I disagree. No, I've been to both. I've been to both.
No. You guys,
I went
to the UK Florida game a couple years back, and you know a U of L game. What do? We hold our own. We will have a Makers and Coke, and then go in and purchase
a
Makers
and
Coke.
Yes, I understand.
I went to UK Florida game. It was puke and rally.
Well, it was.
It
yeah.
was. They were like, I got to get this out of me so I can make sure I can make it through the game. You don't know how to pace yourself?
Well,
easy, child. Easy.
You can't pace
easy
yourself
little young
because there's no alcohol
in the
stadium.
Yeah.
Easy, easy young Obi-Wan. Easy.
They may have been me before we knew each other.
there's a reason. Hey, y'all can't handle yourselves. That's the reason why Keeneland's only open 2 months out the year.
Right, no kidding. It's because Mitch Barnhart won't allow alcohol sales in Caldwell Stadium.
Don't blame it on
so
Mitch.
So I'm going to blame it because we got to load up before we get into the
Don't blame it on
we
Mitch.
We got to be able to sustain that buzz through the entire four-hour game because Mitch Barnhart won't sell beer at the damn stadium.
Leave that.
Doesn't he sound so like from Eastern Kentucky?
100%. Right there.
Leave that beer at the Commonwealth Stadium.
Leave that. That's
why
good,
doesn't Mitch care about me?
That is a damn good one right
that's
there.
That's his alter ego.
That is the damn. But you know, I
that's
get
it. Kentucky Vern, BB.
I mean, Mitch Barnhart is a good Christian man. Leave
he
him
is.
Alone.
Hey, he can be a good Christian man all he wants. Let me drink a beer. That's fine. Jesus turned water into wine. Let's go.
Jesus came to Louisville. He didn't go to UK.
Oh,
clearly.
That was
clearly.
Good. That was good.
Jesus said, here, I'm going to give y'all Churchill Downs, Jim Patterson, and we're going to do a little fun over here. See y'all later.
I don't even live in Lexington. I've never lived 1 minute in Lexington.
I'll get to gambling at a later date.
There we go. Jesus bring gambling to Kentucky. All right, Perrin Johnson, I want to say thank you so much for hanging out.
No problem, brother.
Yesterday and today, we've had a blast. Jack Grossman, good job. Happy trails on your way to New Jersey tomorrow.
Yes, I am.
Yes,
5:30 a.m. flight or something like that.
hey, young man.
Yep.
Get it while you can. Go
yeah,
have fun.
Enjoy yourself. The battle in the family is Ethan and I because we don't do anything on Friday until the rehearsal dinner.
Right.
We want to take the train into the city for the day.
Watch them get stuck over there on Staten Island.
Yeah.
This is where Pete Davidson lives.
Hey,
y'all gonna be chilling.
Jack's
well versed. He's good. He done been some places, seen some things. He'd be all right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a fun weekend.
Go see if you can find some Sopranos landmarks for me and send some pictures to me, Jack. Go to Satrial's.
Nick owes me a meal at Gats' Deli, so that's my goal for the weekend.
What city are you going to be in Jersey?
It's near Newark.
Okay, you're going to be right outside Newark and Jersey? Okay.
You're going to be right around where Tony Soprano lived. All right, fictionally. All right, everybody, we'll be back tomorrow. Ethan Moore will have the mixtape. Avery will be filling in for Jack. This is James Treble for Perrin Johnson. Jack Grossman. It's ESPN 680, 105.7 The Take.
GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.